let's turn just for a while back to Psalm 105 this morning. I think Psalm 105 is a great psalm for us as we begin another new year, as we reset, as it were, ourselves for serving God, for worshipping God, beginning with God for another new year. Sometimes perhaps you're on the computer and something goes wrong and you don't know what's gone wrong, you're not quite sure why it's happened, but you do what everybody does in such situations, and that's turn it off and then turn it back on again. And it's amazing, isn't it, how often that works. You turn it off, turn it back on again, and everything seems to come back to normal. Well, in a sense, when we come to the start of another new year, we may feel, perhaps over the Christmas season, or perhaps through the winter months, that we've turned ourselves off, and we need to turn ourselves back on. We need, as it were, to reset for another new year. Psalm 105, I think, particularly in these first five verses, really help us to begin the year again with God, to get ourselves reset, to hit the on button once more and get ourselves back and working and serving and being the people that we should be. And I think in these five verses there are five lovely encouragements to us as we think about the end of one year and the beginning of another year. So most of us, I think all of us, have got five fingers on our hands, and so we can perhaps leave a note with them, as it were, and go back to them in the week ahead, and as the year opens up before us, to keep these things in mind. So let's have a look at them. First of all, we should be thankful. Be thankful. You notice how the psalm begins. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. The psalmist, perhaps is speaking to himself, no doubt he's speaking to others, and because this is the word of God, inspired by God, the Holy Spirit, he speaks to us thousands of years later. And in a sense, the first thing that we are to do as we enter another new year is to be thankful to God. And I trust that we've sought to do that this morning. We have thanked God. We began our service, didn't we, with Lord for the years. Your love has kept and guided. We bring our thanks today. It's always good to start there, isn't it? To thank God for what he has done for us. We are here. Last year wasn't a good year, was it? The last 2 years have not been good years. We're conscious, aren't we, of the awful things that have happened in our community and in our society. And yet, we are still here. God has been good to us. We're conscious too, aren't we, of how Satan would love to have disrupted and destroyed. And yet God has watched over us as a fellowship and kept us together. And so we say thank you to God for that. We are reminded, aren't we, of the many blessings that we enjoy. We prayed this morning for the persecuted church. And we are glad, aren't we, that this morning we're here, free to worship together. We're perhaps being reminded how easily those freedoms can be taken from us. But we're here, and there is so much to give thanks to God for as his people. And it's a good thing to do, isn't it? I can remember as a boy that once Christmas Day and Boxing Day was over, I had to do my thank you cards. That was the rule. Christmas Day, Boxing Day, the next day I had to do my thank you cards. And like I expect all of us, there wouldn't be something we do naturally, but that was something I had to learn as a child. And we, as God's people, we need to develop that gratitude attitude, don't we? To be thankful. So it's not just a New Testament, an Old Testament thing. It's a New Testament thing, isn't it? You think about the Apostle Paul when he writes to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, that great chapter. And he says, doesn't he, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It's interesting, isn't it, that thanksgiving is set, as it were, against anxiety and being over-anxious. That's helpful, isn't it? Because we live in anxious days, don't we? We live in days that concern us. We're not sure what's going to happen. he says, be vocal. Be vocal. As Christians, we need to be vocal. And you notice that there are, in verses 1 and 2, there are, in a sense, three different directions in which we should be vocal. So we should be vocal to the Lord. You see it there, call upon his name. We'll come back to that in a moment. But sing to him, sing psalms to him. We are to be vocal towards one another, talking of all his wondrous love. But we are to be vocal in making his known his deeds among the peoples. Now remember, when you read the peoples in the Old Testament, what that means is talking about the Gentiles. So in other words, those who are not yet part of God's covenant people. It's those who are outside. So what verse 1 is ending with is an instruction and an exhortation to evangelism, to bringing the gospel to other people. But you see, it's set amongst these other things that we're to do with our voices. We are to be praising and worshipping. And the psalms will pick that up again in a minute. We should be those who sing our praise to the Lord. Singing praise to the Lord isn't just for Sundays. I hope that's true of you. Not just for Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings or Wednesday afternoons. We should be those who naturally sing our praise to the Lord. Isn't it good when we're driving along in the car perhaps and we feel that song in our hearts and we sing, or whatever it might be in the shower, or whatever it is. You know, sing praise to the Lord. But not just using our voices for that, but talking of his wondrous works. It's that lovely verse in the book of Malachi, isn't it? We'll be in Malachi in a couple of months' time if the Lord spares us all. And we'll be thinking, won't we, about that verse at the end of chapter 3 that tells us how the Lord watches and then sees his people talking one with another, sharing their things one with another, talking of the wondrous works of the Lord. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? And then, of course, we are to be making known his deeds among the peoples. So the people that you live amongst, the people that you work with, the people that you socialise with, we should be praying, aren't we, that the Lord will open the door for us to be able to speak to them about God's wondrous works in our lives. God's people should be vocal people. The psalmist is encouraging us in the year ahead. So, let's think about how we apply that as we start another new year. So am I going to be a person who sings praise to the Lord? Do I delight singing his praise? Am I always glad to be together with God's people whenever they meet so that we can sing his praise? Do I share with others in the church, other Christians, how the Lord has blessed me, what the Lord has said to me? Do I talk with others? Do I enjoy Christian fellowship? So when God's people come together, maybe I want to be there. I want to be there because I want to pray. We'll see that in a moment. But also because I want to share. I want to study the scriptures together. To talk of all his wondrous works. Am I going to pray that the Lord will open every day for me a door to make his deeds known amongst the peoples? You know, so we should pray for, isn't it? That whatever you're doing tomorrow, at some point in the day, a door will open. And God will provide that opportunity. And it might come in the most unexpected way, but you'll be ready for it. Somebody will ask you a question and you'll have the answer. Somebody will talk to you of something that's going on in the world and you'll be able to bring a Christian viewpoint to it. Something that's happening in the land and you'll say, well, this is what I believe as a Christian. This is what the Bible says. That would be a good thing to do, wouldn't it? A good thing to pray for. As we reset, as it were, as we begin 2022 with God, wouldn't it be good for us to be vocal and as Christians, as well as being thankful? Let's notice the third thing that's in these verses, and that is to be worshipping. To be worshipping. You see that there in verse 3? Glory in his holy name. Glory in his holy name. Now, what does that mean? What do we talk about when we talk about the name of God? Well, when we talk about the name of God, we're talking about his attributes, aren't we? We're talking about his characteristics. We know that, I'm sure. Names in But when we get to the end of verse 3, we notice, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. You see, it says three times, let the hearts of those who rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Three times we're told to seek. New Testament tells us if we seek, we'll find. But here we're told to seek the Lord. There are two particular things about the Lord. Well, we could say there are three things about the Lord in those three encouragements, aren't there? First of all, we're to seek the Lord for who he is, for himself. Notice that the word there is in capital letters. That means it's Jehovah. It means it's the covenant-keeping God. God is faithful. God keeps his promises. The God whose word is yea and amen. So we want that, don't we? We want to seek him. We want to know him more. We want to rejoice in him more. So that's what we should do. But then you notice we are to seek the Lord and his strength. Now, to anybody here who doesn't feel they need the Lord to help them in the next year, I suspect not. I sincerely hope not. None of us would stand up and say, I can face the next year on our own. We as a church can't face the next year on our own. We have to seek the Lord and his strength. His strength, of course, is a great strength, isn't it? Gene chose for us that very helpful hymn just now, didn't it? Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. See, that's who we're seeking. We're looking for the Mighty One. And we need his might, don't we? We need his strength. We need him to lead us. We need him to provide. We need him to do all things for us in the year ahead. And the psalmist says, seek the Lord, seek his strength. So again, every morning, in a sense, we ask God, give me strength for today. Give me the strength for all that I need today. When we go to bed at night, or whatever else it is, we say, Lord, we need your strength. That's why this year, can I appeal to you to be there on Wednesday afternoons when you can? I appreciate it's not easy for some, and we recognise that, but you know, we need as a church to seek the Lord's strength. We need him to come in power and authority and majesty. And so, you know, if you can at all be there early midweek, well, come seek the Lord in his strength. But not just his strength, is it? Seek his face. You know, when we talk about God's face, there are other prayers, aren't there, in the Old Testament, asking his face to be turned towards us. It's a picture of blessing, isn't it? It's a picture of pleasure. We don't want, as it were, the back of God's head. You know what I mean when I say that? If we saw the back of God's head, that would be glorious. Moses saw his back parts. That was more than enough for him. I don't mean it like that. We want his face, don't we? We want to look upon us. We want his face to shine upon us. We want him to look favourably upon us. And we want his blessing. I think that's what this verse is talking about. And you notice, it doesn't just say, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face. It says, seek his face evermore. Okay? That's what the New Testament says, isn't it? Pray without ceasing. In everything, with thanksgiving, bring your supplications and your requests. And we are to be those who seek God's face. We seek his power. That we seek him to be amongst us. And the psalmist would encourage us on this first Sunday of another year to say, well, this is where I'm going to be in 2022. This is how I'm going to reset things. And way to remember what he has judged and what he commands us to do in the presence. You see that? Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders. That's what the rest, in a sense, of Psalm 105 is about. If we'd read the whole of the chapter, we would have been reminded of the great things that God had done for Israel. David is writing this psalm, or whoever's writing this psalm, perhaps a thousand BC, and he's looking back, isn't he, on the history of Israel and how God had fulfilled his promise to Abraham, brought them into the promised land. And he goes through that and rejoices, deliverance from Egypt and so on. We've got time this afternoon to have a read of the whole of the psalm. And why did he do that? Because he promised. We rejoined the reading in verse 42, didn't we? He remembered his holy promise, and so on. You and I should do that. We should remember God's goodness to us in the past, as individuals, and as a church, and as the church, in ways. Each glad Ebenezer I have in review confirmed this is good pleasure to help me in my soul. We remember what God's wondrous works. You know, God said great things in this village in the past. So he knows who he is here, and he hasn't changed. What he has done in the past, he can do again, and he can do on a far greater scale. And that should encourage us as we come and pray, as we pray for the village, as we pray for the community, as we pray for the valley. We should remember God's mighty works, and be mindful of them, his wonders, his miracles. And we remember too his judgments. We remember too what he commands us to do. That's how the psalm ends, isn't it? We got as far as verse 45, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. God has given us commands. He saved us so that we might be able to worship him, obedient people. And you and I need to remember that, to be mindful of that, as we enter another new year. And of course, we're new covenant people. So we think of the commands of the Lord Jesus, that we are to love one another as he has loved us. We are to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. We are to consider each other better than ourselves, and to esteem each other highly for the Lord's sake. His commands, his example, they are the judgments of his mouth. And you and I are to be mindful of those. And so as we enter 2022, the fifth thing we need to do is to be mindful. Thank God for what he's done in the past. We look to him as to what he'll do in the future. But we remember the commandments and the judgments that he's made upon us. And who the people we should be, as God's people in our day and our generation. So the psalmist says, we thank